The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. Today, people are living on the edge of fear and worry as never before. Mental aberrations, mental disease, and illness as never before. Emotional disorders plague every other patient in the United States. One out of every two patients going to a medical doctor is suffering from an illness which is tied up with mental or emotional disorder. Today, millions are living on the edge, on the brink, worrying what's going to happen next. Worried about Vietnam, about Red China, about the starvation clock or the population explosion, about the weather, worried about prices, about strikes, about jobs, about their physical health, about accidents, about crime. Now witness what occurs in some strange phenomena or a tremor, a sonic boom, or some untoward bit of weather. The jamming of police telephone switchboards immediately occurs. People seem to be living so nervously, so much on the edge of some horrible, unexpected disaster that they immediately snatch the telephone out of the cradle and begin to call the police to find out what's wrong. Recently, in a program on The World Tomorrow, I talked about nine methods by which modern societies could be guaranteed they would have unbelievable mental disorders. And then I was giving nine methods by which you can be guaranteed you will not have mental disorders, and neither will your children. But few people realize the tremendous number of upset minds in the world today. And it's not just in the United States, but around the world. In Britain, one person in four has some psychiatric disorder, ranging from minor neurosis to major mental illness. One woman in nine and one man in 14 in Britain will spend a period in a mental hospital. As I've been quoting the last couple of programs, it's over 19 million Americans who are mentally unbalanced. Now, the worldwide toll is pretty bad, too. An American social scientist says it's somewhere between 15 to 30% of the total population of the earth that suffers from mental disorders. And that means a slowdown in economic growth, a slowdown in development. That always means increased disorders in governments, in many of the emerging nations, simply because such stresses and the disturbing mental trends in many countries today. It's a fantastic thing to say that in this modern affluent age of more gadgetry, of more leisure time, of a higher gross national product, a time when more people have more things than ever before, that one-third of a nation may be suffering from one of 18 main illnesses and handicapping conditions, and that, by the way, is a statistic according to the National Health Education Committee. Not one individual's private opinion, but a studied statistic, a fact. Now, the teenage mental ills are up sharply. A study made at the National Institute of Mental Health found that almost a third of a million youngsters, 17 and below, are now under care in outpatient psychiatric clinics in the United States. That's a fantastic figure. A third of a million under 17 years of age. Two-thirds of these are 14 years of age and under. Can you begin to imagine that? Young boys and girls barely in their early teens, 11 even, 12 and under their teens, 13, all upset mentally because of the frustrations of this modern age of ours. Now, compared with a decade ago, three times as many children, 14 and under, are being admitted to mental hospitals annually. That's in one decade. That's since 1957. It has gone up three times over. And the suicide rate among teenagers is up sharply, and it simply shows that people don't know why they're here. That life becomes an empty, meaningless thing to all too many people all too soon. If it, indeed it ever should, and of course it shouldn't. Because people don't know how to live life. They don't know what life is all about, why we're here, where we're going. Now, recently I was giving nine ways to create the high incidence of mental illness in any given society, and then giving the opposite side of the picture, nine guarantees you won't have mental disorders and problems, and nine guarantees your children won't have if you will live by these living principles. But people are fearful today. They are worried as never before. Now, we all want happiness, and however you would express it or state it, people want absence of fear and worry. They want money. A lot of people have a lot of jokes, ready-made jokes about money. They want position, they want security, and that's a normal and a right desire. But on top of it all, however we express it, we want happiness. We want life to be good. We want it to be exciting. We want it to be filled with interest, with life and color and motion and music. With a real sense of well-being, with joy and happiness continually. We don't want physical pain. We don't want mental aberrations and disorders. We don't want weird thoughts and wild nightmares and sleeplessness and all kinds of feelings of being persecuted or followed or under suspicion or a giant guilt complex. And yet people are living this way in general. I know that's a broad sweeping statement, but it's true. You don't know very many people who lead happy, wonderful, balanced, sound, joyful, abundant lives with a sense of real security and well-being. You just don't. There aren't anywhere near enough of that kind of people. There are some, agreed. But when we're living in a time where in one decade the youngsters 14 years of age and below are being admitted into mental clinics and how that statistic has leapt 3 times higher in just 10 years, I tell you, there is something wrong with our modern society, something wrong with our homes. There are stresses, there are pressures in our society that are directly causing this type of thing. Now, a study checking on mental health of New York City folk found, hang on to your chair when you listen to this, that only 18.5% of them are completely well. That's right, that's what I said. Psychiatrists classified 36.3% as having mild symptoms of mental impairment, 21.8% moderate symptoms, and 23.4% impaired, definitely, having symptoms interfering with their ordinary life functions. That's nearly a quarter of the people living in the big city area of New York City. The findings are part of a long-term community health study in a midtown area of New York City conducted by researchers of New York Hospital and Cornell University Medical College. The risk of poor mental health is determined by the number of stresses met throughout life, said Dr. Thomas S. Langer, who is a sociologist. And that study that he reported on found little to support the idea that mental illness is brought on by one single stressful experience which suddenly snaps the string, but that rather it is the outgrowth of the continual pressures, of the emotional disturbances, the fears and the worries that shape the thinking of people. Now, these 9 major problems that were cited, which will create the mental health, the fears, the worries, the aberrations in a nation, were first of all, decline of religious authority. Secondly, the decline of morality in the home and in society. Then, third, the failure in home life, with tens of thousands of mothers working in homes upset and upside down, broken, or maybe completely split apart by divorce. Fourth was cited the lack of discipline in the home, with a lot of parallel in school systems. And fifth was the exposure of children to tens of thousands of irresponsible adults and adult actions. Sixth was exposure to seduction and sex in movies. Seventh, exposure to obscenity in comic books. Eighth was exposure to murder in television shows. Ninth was exposure to publicity of crime and human frailty in the press. Now, maybe you could put them in 7 or 8 or 10 or 14. Many of those overlap, of course. But you could sum it up by one word, that's exposure. Exposure to the rotten swill, the mounting crime, the growing dissidence, and the unbelievable problems of this modern era of ours and the way the adult generation is facing or refusing to face those problems and what it's doing to the youngsters coming along. The only real hope to prevent mental illness is in the home. And starts at birth with children. Now, it's not too late for anybody who is upset and worried and nervous and living on the brink of some horrible occurrence and fearful of accidents, worried about his physical health, scared he's going to be kicked out of a job or lose his wife or that his children are going to leave or run away from home. It's always possible to reverse these trends if we are willing. Now, instead of giving you all of the negative points again, let me continue to give you these absolutely positive points on how not to have upset minds. And this isn't, by the way, a program on mental health. I'm just interjecting a few broadcasts on that subject because it is such a giant problem in our modern world today, because there is such a tremendous segment of the populace, and so much of the mail that comes in proves it. So many people are worried today. They're worried about Vietnam, worried about the weather, worried about almost everything. And it's time you found out why you are worrying and how you don't need to worry and just where your thinking ought to be. 4.5 million American children need psychiatric treatment ranging from counseling to intensive therapy. That, by the way, was a report from the Senate. It is a serious problem. It has reached gargantuan proportions. It's up critically, and it's time we began to face it. Now, one of the major factors in our modern society has been the decline of religious authority and the direct relationship to wild religion, weird religion, unusual religion, superstitious religion, unfactual and faithless religion, or perhaps disillusion with religion. A lot of people who think God is dead, and all the rest of it. But when you strip religion of its authority, and when people have an empty, hollow form which doesn't tie in with their everyday way of life, when they have a sort of a religion, all right, but they don't believe in it, don't practice it, they don't fear any consequences for evil, for sin, they don't feel that they are responsible to a higher power for their actions, then it's no wonder that this was cited, first of all, as one of the major pressures in our modern society that will cause mental problems. So conversely, you need to have a sense of religious authority. How are you going to do that? Well, face your problem squarely. Find out whether or not there is a God. You can do that by writing for this free book that I have for you, absolutely free of charge, on Does God Exist? And prove it to yourself scientifically. Ask yourself if you can explain away all of creation, of life itself, and all of the intricacy and the interdependency of life species of this fantastic earth of ours without a creator. Can you explain laws without a lawgiver? The human mind without a superior intelligence? Life without a life giver? Fulfilled prophecies by the dozens and the hundreds without one who has been backing up his word? Is there a God? Can you prove it? Is it scientific? Now, you can teach a child anything, as I was saying in the last program. So if you want to talk about what to do with regard to children, tell them God exists. Now, a lot of people are willing, perfectly willing, and I mean eagerly willing and happily willing to tell their children Santa Claus exists, which they know is a lie. But those same people, be they agnostic, be they people who just maybe suspicion that God might exist, who don't have the remotest suspicion Santa Claus exists, will feel a little bit weird and picky about teaching their children directly about the existence of an all-wise, loving, merciful God. They'll teach their kids that bunnies lay eggs. They'll teach their children about every kind of a pagan superstition you can imagine, instill in them fear of the dark, instill in them hatred of other races, instill in them all kinds of weird family superstitions and old wives' tales, anything from pregnant women looking at snakes and causing a birthmark on the child down to various home remedies for corns and bunions. But what about teaching them the truth? You can teach your children the moon is green cheese, as I said in the last program, and they'll believe it. Because during that time, when a parent more or less takes the place of God, so to speak, and he is the only source of love, of warmth, of protection, the only source of law and order and authority, the source of happiness, the source of comfort, the source of his food and his clothing and his shelter for the child, then the child learns total reliance upon that parent and he begins to believe everything he's told. Just like many a young German person has grown up believing what his parents told him about the torture camps, the concentration camps of World War II. So that today there are broad segments of modern day teenagers in Western Germany who do not believe Hitler ever put to death a single Jew. Sure, you can teach a child anything, or you can teach them the truth. Now, if you want some tools and some help, well, there are plenty of helps available on the bookshelves, as far as that's concerned. A lot of child series. I'm not advertising books, but I happen to know that some of these child series are very, very rewarding and very interesting for children. You can look into them and purchase them, but most people don't give their children the time of day. And if you want some help with regard to teaching your child about religion, about the truth, then write in for this magazine, The Plain Truth, that is absolutely free of charge. And every single month we have this series of articles continuing on the Bible story for children. not irrelevant, disconnected stories of blood and thunder or something about Noah and the Ark or Daniel or something else, but one happening after another, just as it was, but in modern language and written for the level where children anywhere from 6 on up and even below, with a father or a mother there to explain it, can understand the real meaning of the Bible. If you want a stable mind, teach your child to obey and to respect the laws of God, the higher court of heaven. J. Edgar Hoover said, a child taught to respect the laws of God will have little trouble respecting the laws of his community. And it's a fact, and you can prove it. Now, the second major guarantee on avoiding mental aberrations and illness is morality. Morality in the home. Morality in society. Live it and practice it and be moral. Now, that sounds like a sort of a weird thing in modern society. You'll have to admit that. To tell somebody to be moral, he'd say, why? What's it going to get you? Let me tell you what it's going to get you. It's going to get you everything you want. What do you want? How chic are you? Just how up-to-date are you? What's your income, fella? You know, where are you? How do you stand? Have you ever gotten to the income bracket where you are saying that you're beyond happiness, you don't want happiness? You see older people high in society, people whose names would be on everybody's lips, people whose names, if I were to mention them, would be recognized immediately, whether in the entertainment field, the judiciary body of the United States, legislative bodies, what have you. Older people who are still snatching and grasping at life, who still want and are searching for the thrills and the rewards of a successful marriage. You see the admissions of one J. Paul Getty, who said he would virtually give up all of his wealth, his many millions, for one successful marriage. Cited as one of the major reasons for mental illness, aberration, unhappiness, psychiatric problems in our modern society is the decline of morality in the home and in all society. Well, then the opposite side of the coin, the way to guarantee you have good, sound mental health and a good outlook toward life is to practice morality. Now, what is morality? People say they don't know what it is. They say there are no mores, there are no absolutes, there are no real laws. Well, that's a bunch of poppycock and balderdash, and you can prove it. You're not ignorant to cause and effect. No one is. We learn there is a cause for every effect and an effect for every cause. Quite quickly in life. Anything from stumbling over the steps to cutting our finger to burning our hand on the stove. And just as sure as there are causes and effects in the physical laws around us, so are there involving the laws of your mind. And in morality, there are hidden spiritual laws that are absolutely binding upon human conduct. And regardless as to whether or not we know those laws exist, when those laws are broken, they exact a penalty. Someone who practices rampant immorality is taking apart his character systematically, destroying his own character, absolutely damaging, practically irreparably, unless he knows where to go to get the help, his will, his volition, his very thought processes or hers, and throwing to the four winds their opportunity, their one opportunity for everything in life they really want. And again, what are they? Well, success, sure. Position, yes, but not without love, not without a sense of being loved, not without a sense of being appreciated, and not without a sense of real worth, not without interest, life, and happiness, and joy, not without a sense of security and well-being. Position, money, these aren't enough. Oh, I know some chic, flippant person can say they are, but don't let him kid you. He's a liar. He's just lying through his teeth and kidding himself. Anybody says money is going to make him happy, well, of course, he's funny, he thinks, at the moment, but he's not very convincing. Not when you read the personal lives of the people that are wallowed in their billions. Not when you read one person after another who has gotten there, who has it made, and who will try until he's purple-veined and red in the face to tell people without money, money doesn't make you happy. Still, the fellow without money says, oh, I know, but I think you're lying to me, and I think, really, I would be different. I would be the one exception in all of history that if I had all kinds of money, I would really be happy where you have failed. Well, let's not kid ourselves. Too many people have tried. The decline of morality in the home and society is cited as a direct reason for many of the pressures that bring about mental problems. Now, today, do you remember the unbelievable figure that when the Army called up 7 men, it had to turn down 5, and there were 3 that were turned down directly for physical reasons, and 2 out of that 5 for mental disabilities? You remember how it was reported back a few years ago in the U.S. News and World Report that in order to get the 196,000 additional men needed for that Berlin crisis, the government had to call up 755,000 men. That was back a few years back. 755,000 men were called up. Out of those, they were able to accept only 196,000 men. And of the 5 for every 7 rejected, 2 out of the 5 for mental disorders. So don't kid yourself, it's not a giant problem in society. It is. It just is. So the opposite side of the coin on this thing of morality is to live by it. Now, what is moral? There are moral laws, and moral laws are found and revealed by the one who is the author of human nature, the one who is the originator and the inventor of mores and laws, the one who has made humankind and made them male and female, the one who made us to function in a certain way, the one who is the author and the creator of marriage, the one who is the very organizer and the inventor of the home, the one who created life and gave us a handbook on how to live. Now, it's just common sense, that's all. It's not something you snatch out of the middle of the air. It's not some moray or law that you decide you like because it appeals to you. It's a matter of the operation of a very highly complex instrument, the human mind and body. It's a matter of the shortest direction, the shortest route to reach a positive goal. It's a matter of the best way to make the machine work. Live it, practice it, be moral. Why? Why, because there are automatic rewards. There are curses and heinous problems if you don't, and there are beautiful, wonderful rewards if you do. That's why. If you want to know more about that, then write in for our booklet on the 10 Commandments and read how they are up to date today. They're absolutely up to date and applicable to every facet of life, the 10 Commandments, and they go through some of the major moral codes and laws that tell you why you ought to be absolutely moral and why you ought to teach morality, chastity, sanctity, and real spirituality and Christian principles to your children. Why? Because you want to be a stuffy old Puritan? No, because you love your kids and you want them to have a happy and a rewarding life. And you want them to have sound minds and healthy bodies and a terrific, warm, loving outlook toward life. There are automatic curses if you don't, and there are automatic rewards and blessings if you do. Now, the decline of morality is all around you. You see it in the sick kid and the price-rigging executive. You see it in all of the TV shows and the type of entertainment we want today. You see it in the novels, the motion pictures, and attitudes of people. So don't be one of the 4 F's of today, fearful, frustrated, fatalistic, and futile, like many people are, and drop out from society. Get your head up and take a look around and realize there are very rewarding and wonderfully effective principles you ought to be living by and that you ought to be teaching to your children, and that they do pay off and they give automatic rewards. Now, if you want to know more about it, then write for that book on the 10 Commandments that I mentioned and see with your own eyes how it does really work and it's practical. Now, another major help that I can offer you, and all of these are absolutely free, by the way, and there's no advertising in them, and there's nothing else that is going to come. No one's going to call on you. No bill to ever follow. And another major and important tool you can use not only as a family, but as husband and wife together and in training your children, is the one on the plain truth about child rearing. Showing you how to be a family unit, showing you how to rear children and why. And it's a handbook that you can keep referring to time and time again. It's really a condensation of a thesis on the subject after years of research and study in child psychology. It's a boiled down thesis in one little booklet that is only about 100 pages long or so that you can read in one sitting, and yet you'll want to refer to it time and time again. It answers all kinds of questions. Should you punish children? Is corporal punishment right or wrong? What do the child psychologists say about it? How do you get a child to come when he's called? How do you get him to be quiet? How do you get his mind to be normal and stable? How do you prevent injury and accident? How do you take care of a child? What about if dad is punishing the child and mom disagrees? Then what? All kinds of questions answered about day-to-day conditions involving homes, families, and children. In this booklet on the plain truth about child rearing. And it's free of charge. There's no price for it. It'll be a good help to you if you want to put into practice these principles I'm talking about. And we'll send it to you by return mail absolutely free of charge as soon as we get the request for it. And you can jot down the mailing address that I will give you in a few more minutes at the close of this program. And it will come to you by return mail free of charge. And also the booklets I've mentioned on the proof of the Bible and does God exist in the Ten Commandments. I know that's a lot to remember for them, but I'll repeat them again in a moment. Now remember that the first major method by which you can guarantee an absence of mental aberrations, fears, and worries is to have real, solid, authoritative religious principles in your home. And you will only have those by proving to yourself accurately and positively and scientifically that God does exist and you know He exists, that He is the one who inspired the Bible and you can believe in it and follow it and practice it. And secondly, to get moral and stay that way. Learn to love moral principles, practice them, and live by them. Why? Why, because there are such wonderful rewards for it, and because it will pay off for your children and solve about 90% of a lot of your problems. There are other problems that can be solved, too. You just can't believe to begin the happiness that can be yours if you're willing to turn around and go the other way, to repent of the way you have been living, and to decide with God's help you're going to live differently, and to live by His laws and with His laws protecting you, instead of thinking you're hostile toward the very principles that are going to give you everything out of life you want. So write for these booklets I've mentioned. Now, in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine is this article, What Do You Mean Rewarded According to Works? Now, some might even tell you that I believe that you can be saved, speaking for a moment theologically, by your works. And I don't, because I can see in the Bible that's simply not true. It's absolutely not true. It's a lie that you can be saved by works. You simply cannot be. It's impossible. It's utterly impossible. Any more than a little baby can earn its birth. Does a baby earn its birth, or isn't it given life and everything it has by loving parents? Well, write for the Plain Truth magazine, and this article will come along with others in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine. It's full color throughout, a beautifully, finely printed magazine, and free of charge, absolutely no price. Now, also this article on A Theory for the Birds in the current number. Did the miracle of flight come from frayed, loosely hanging fish scales? That's what evolutionists try to teach you. This article tells you otherwise. Did the myriads of birds we have around us evolve from ungainly, hulking crocodiles? Evolutionists say they did. This article shows you reason, logic, common sense, true science, and the great creator God says they didn't and they don't. And here's the absolute proof. Your children will enjoy reading this one, too. The booklets I've mentioned are The Ten Commandments, Does God Exist?, The Proof of the Bible, and the one on child rearing. They're all free of charge and no price if you'll write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. And I'll continue in this short series about mental stability and good, sound mental health next time. So don't miss a single program. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.